me. Search me.
No, thanks. Pay that man $8. If I had $10 and I took half of it, what would I have?
A fractured skull.
Thank you. Pay that man $9 because...
it pays to be ignorant.
As living proof to all you servicemen and women listening in over there that it does pay to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wits, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and a man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
Well, here we are coming at you again with another session of It Pays to Be Ignorant, a quiz program that has become a household word, but we're not permitted to tell you the word. We have a board of experts who cannot change their minds because they have no trade-in value. Of course, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled The Tree of Knowledge, or Don't Be Fooled by Pretty Limbs. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
Yeah.
A poem, yes. She wore her stockings inside out all through the summer heat because it cooled her off to turn the hose upon her feet.
Very good. All right, next we have a woman. Next we have a woman who was so dumb, she watered her victory garden with whiskey so she could get stewed tomatoes. I call her my melancholy baby because she's got a head like a melon, a face like a collie, and one tooth like a baby. Here she is, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, we almost had a fire in our house last night.
What happened?
My old man was smoking in bed.
Why was he smoking in bed?
The old fool was reading Forever Amber.
I
know. Okay. Why was he smoking?
Never mind. It was probably the embers that were smoking. Now, let's get on here. Next, we have a man who can always find a flat by just using his head. A man whose all his friends call him tonsillitis because he's a pain in the neck. Mr. George Shelton.
George Q. Shelton, if you don't mind, Mr. Howard.
George Q. Shelton? What is the Q for?
Quits.
Quit?
Yeah, when I was born, my father looked at me and he said to my mother, let's call it quits.
Let's call it
quits. Oh, my word.
Now that you've met the experts, we'll tackle the first question. And to show you what an optimist I am, I'll hope for an answer.
Yes.
Here is the question.
Yes.
What profession does a doctor of dentistry practice?
Mr. Howe, did you say doctor of dentistry?
That's right.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure you weren't pulling something on us.
I'm pulling.
Say, Mr. Howard, would the question have something to do with the teeth?
Correct, Mr. Sheldon. Now, what profession does a doctor of dentistry practice?
Well, you know, I have a dentist who has no windows in his office.
No windows in his office?
He's a painless dentist.
He's a pain.
I think, you know, my uncle was a dentist up in Vermont.
Yes.
And he went over to England to practice.
He went to England to practice?
Yes. He's a Yank at Oxford.
He's a Yank.
Speaking about teeth. Some people think I have buck teeth.
Yeah.
Do you think I have buck teeth?
No, your face is just pushed back too far, Miss McConnell. Tell me something, Miss McConnell. If you had trouble with your teeth, what would you do?
I'd quit wearing them.
You'd quit wearing them. Good idea.
You know, Mr. Howard, I had two teeth pulled the other day. It didn't hurt a bit.
Did you get gas?
No, but I had my oil changed.
You had your oil changed.
You know, my landlady's been complaining of a toothache for over a week now, and I can't understand her.
No? Why can't you understand it?
She hasn't got any teeth.
I see.
I always carry an extra set of teeth in my pocket.
Carry an extra set of teeth? What for?
Well, I'm teaching them to snap at pickpockets.
Oh.
Very nice.
You know, I think my old man brushes his teeth with gunpowder.
Brushes his teeth with gunpowder? What makes you think so?
He's always shooting off his mouth.
He does. Can we please get back to the question? What profession does a doctor of dentistry practice? Mr. McNaughton, let me ask you something.
Yes.
Do you use toothpaste?
Mr. Howard, why should I use toothpaste? My teeth aren't loose.
My teeth? Ah, God.
Thank you.
Pittsburgh located in? Is that clear?
I've been in Pittsburgh, Mr. Hart. Yeah, but it wasn't clear.
It wasn't clear.
I passed through Pittsburgh, but I went to Kansas City.
You did.
I just love Pittsburgh.
Oh, you love any place where there's a man.
Is that bad?
All right. What famous city is the University of Pittsburgh located in?
Well, Mr. Howe, tell me, is the city named after the university, or was the university named after the city?
Mr. McNaughton, that is irrelevant.
Yeah, it's what?
It's irrelevant. You know what irrelevant means?
Oh, rather, yes, and irrelevant, never forget.
Irrelevant, never forget.
I'm very naughty tonight.
Say, Mr. Howe, what is a university?
It's a college or a school.
Well, which is it, college or a school? Make up your mind.
Mr. Connell, if you were a man, I'd slap your face.
If you were a man, I'd let you.
You're letting.
I remember when I went to school, my teacher used to ask me to stay after school every day.
Yeah, what happened?
That's none of your business. You lead your life and I'll lead mine.
Okay.
You know, when I went to school, I always had 2 A's on my report card.
You always had 2 A's on your report card?
That's right. One in Harry and one in McNaughton.
One in Harry. Very clever. Very clever, Mr. McNaughton.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Say, now, I got a nephew in college. He lives in a dromedary.
He lives in a dromedary. A dromedary is a very odd-looking animal. Big teeth, large feet, 2 humps on its back. Goes for weeks without water.
Yeah, my old man is a dromedary.
I see.
Why, has your old man got 2 humps on his back?
No, but he goes for weeks without water.
The question is, what famous city is the University of Pittsburgh located in?
Oh, I don't like that question.
Neither do I.
Neither do I. I move that we strike it from the agenda.
Yes.
Wait a minute. We're not taking it off the agenda.
You're not?
No.
Okay.
Where you going?
I'm walking out. Come on, delegate.
Sit down now. Your landlady will owe more room rent, or you'll owe more, rather.
Mr. Howard, what is an agenda?
Oh, Miss McConnell, don't you know what an agenda is?
Yeah.
It's a passage in music, you know. It's a sort of a... Well, it goes like a...
Oh, pretty.
Yeah, I thought you'd like it.
That's not an agenda, that's a cadenza.
What are you talking about? A cadenza, that's milk.
No. What? What do you mean, cadenza's
what?
Milk?
My landlady said to me this morning, run down and get me a can of cadenza milk.
Ah, cut it out. That's terrible, Johnny.
Ray Porter's Esquires bring you back to the days of nursery rhymes. They would like you to hear their new arrangement of Old King Cole.
Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. He called for his pipe, and he called for his bowl, and he called for his fiddler's tree.
Fiddle-diddle-dee with
cello. Fiddle-diddle-dee with a big, big bang.
With a fiddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-dee.
Fiddle-diddle-dee.
What a happy man was he.
Old King Cole put away his bowl and he called his fiddler's three.
He said,
hey, you.
Hey, you.
And you come play those things for me.
Fiddle-diddle-dee with the fiddle. Fiddle-diddle-dee with
the
cello.
Fiddle-diddle-dee with a big, big bang.
And the concert had begun.
Fiddle-diddle-dee.
The story isn't done.
They played music very sweet. They played it very hot. The king, he told him when to start. He told him when to stop.
Stop. This music cannot be. And that's enough for me.
He got mad when they played bad. Those terrible fiddlers three. He said, that's sad. I'm mad. You're bad. Go away from me.
The king, he said, I'll make a hole in the guy that worries me. He shot his gun and a good old gun discharged the fiddlers three.
Fiddle-diddle-dee went the big, big bay.
And a happy king is he.
Fiddle-diddle-dee.
Oh, my home, my homie.
Got his pipe and he got his bowl and he got his
fiddle-diddle-diddle-dee. That was pretty fine, right? Yes, sir. A1. Now, can we get back to the business on hand? Have we a contestant?
Yes, we have, Mr. Howard. And our first guest this evening is coming to the microphone now. His name is Mr. Edward Keene.
Oh, that's fine, son. Very good. Good evening, Mr. Keene. Did you say Keene?
Yes.
Oh, I see. You're not the tracer of lost persons, are you,
no,
by any means?
No.
I wanted to get that straight. How do you feel this evening, sir?
Hot. Very hot.
Very warm, yes. You said something.
Mr. Keene looks sharp.
I see. Never mind the fun. Where is your hometown, Mr. Keene? Would you care to tell us?
Ridgefield Park, New Jersey.
Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Oh, yes. I see. Ridgefield Park. That's over near Tenafly, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, our singer, our baritone here that sings our theme song, he comes from Tenafly. Yes, he comes
Ridgefield
from...
Park?
Ridgefield Park.
Well, put a stone in my shoe and call me Hopalong Cassidy. I used to work in that town. Yeah, I was a magician in a sweater store.
You were a magician in a sweater store?
I used to pull the wool over people's eyes.
Oh, yes.
Pay no attention to
him. That's right.
Mr. Keene, I should say. Pay no attention to him. We'll throw a net over him in a minute. What are you doing in New York this evening? On a visit or come over to see a show or something?
Sightseeing.
Oh, sightseeing. Well, have you saw McConnell? You saw him. What is your line of work? Do you work or...
Just out of service.
I see. You haven't gone to work yet.
No.
Well, I hope you have good luck when you do go. Are you married?
No, single.
You're not married. In business for yourself. I see.
As if it's a key, speaking about marriage, I always say a man is like a lamp wick. He gets trimmed many times before he gets the right flame.
That's right. He gets put out lots of times, too.
That's because he comes home oiled up.
Well, after he's married a few years, then he sees the light.
I see.
Oh, yeah.
Will you three guys stop this filibuster, please? Let's get on here.
Yes, go right ahead. Go right ahead, Mr. Hart. We yield the floor to the gentleman from New Jersey.
Thank you. I'm sorry for this interruption, Mr. Keene, but you got to expect this when you have nitwits for experts. As I want to say, we're very happy to have you with us this evening. Very
yes,
happy.
You are. What's your first name, honey?
Edward.
What?
Edward.
Edward.
Edward,
if it'll help.
Oh, isn't that a lovely Edward? I just love that name, Edward. It's
yes.
Something so... Oh, it's, you know, Edward, just right. He's cute, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a cute young fellow.
He's awfully cute,
yes. Yeah.
He's a little too old for me.
He's
a... You can just call me swans down flower. I'm soft and fluffy.
Yes, and you've been through the mill.
Shut up, you old crumb.
Mr. Keene, will you reach into Johnny he's got them, pick out a question for us, please.
Sure.
And we'd be very happy if you'll read it for us, if you don't mind.
After what animal are the Detroit Tigers named?
Thank you. After what animal are the Detroit Tigers named?
Oh, I say that, Johnny. That's a splendid question.
You mean you really understood the question the first time you heard it?
Well, certainly, old boy. After what animal are the Detroit Tigers named? Perfectly clear, except for one minor detail.
What's that?
What are the Detroit Tigers?
I don't know. It's a baseball team.
Well, what do you know? Mr. Howard answered the question.
Wait a minute.
Isn't that wonderful?
He did, Barn. He's just showing off.
Wait a minute.
Oh, congratulations, old boy. Splendid work. Yes, congrats. Shall we go on to the next question?
Wait a minute. You haven't answered this one yet.
Why, you just answered it yourself, you dumb cluck.
I didn't answer the question. I merely told you the question's about baseball.
Oh, baseball. Oh, baseball. I'll never forget the first time I played baseball. I walked up to the plate and swung with all my might. Suddenly, I heard a sharp crack.
What was it?
My collarbone.
Well, perhaps your bat was too heavy.
Yeah. Oh, are you supposed to use a bat?
You know, my sister played baseball on a girls' team. They were called the Silk Sox.
Oh, really? Was she a star player on the Silk Sox?
Sure. She got two or three runs every day.
Two or three runs. Yes.
Every day. Get it, Mr. Howard?
Yes, and I'm sorry.
My old man played with the Bloomer girls once.
What'd he get?
His face slapped.
Yes.
Mr. McConnell, does your throat bother you?
Why, no.
Well, it bothers everyone else. I'm trying to get an answer to my question. It's about a great American sport.
Oh, sport. Oh, swimming is my favorite sport. Ah, yes, when I walk on the beach, I cut a swashbuckling figure.
Yeah. From the waist up, you swash, and from the knees down, you buckle.
Take your pardon.
Yeah, I don't like to go to the beach. I get all sunburned.
Well, why don't you take some suntanned oil with you?
Ah, that stuff is no good. No. Last summer, I drank 3 bottles of it, and I still got sunburned.
Mr. Sheldon, did anyone ever tell you you were a moron?
Oh, lots of times. But I never listened to flattery.
I see.
You know, the last time I went to the beach, I was determined not to get sunburned. So I rubbed olive oil on my arms, I rubbed vinegar on my legs, and tomato juice down my back, and some mayonnaise, I rubbed it on my chest.
What happened?
I broke out in Thousand Island dressing.
My old man loves the water.
He does?
He lives on the water.
Has he a boat?
Yeah. He has a big old scow.
You're telling me.
You know, up on my Uncle Webfoot's farm, I used to milk scows.
That's a good job for a jerk. Now, look, how many times do I have to tell you the questions about baseball, not about scows or swimming?
Oh, Mr. Connell, tell me, do you swim?
No, but when I was down in Georgia, I used to bathe in the spring.
Oh, really? That's nice. What spring did you bathe in?
The spring of 98.
You know, I took a milk bath yesterday.
You took a milk bath?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me, really, how did you get the cow into the tub?
I didn't bother. I just jacked her up and took a shower.
That's a pen. Give our good friend from Richfield Park $24.40.
That will be a pleasure, Mr. Howard. Tonight we have a special treat for you. One of the members of Harry Salter's orchestra is the world's greatest accordion player, Charles Mignante. And now Mr. Mignante, together with Harry Salter, would like to play for you their special arrangement of Chopin's Minute Waltz. Thank you.
as much as I hate music, I like that. And now, Ken, who is our next guest?
Our next guest, Mr. Howard, is a very lovely young lady, Miss Doris Pakula.
Good evening, Miss Pakula, and thank you a lot for coming up. How are you this evening, Miss Pakula?
Very fine, thank you.
Well, that's fine.
How do you do, Miss Pakula? Pretty nice piece of bric-a-brac.
Okay.
How's your mother?
Never mind.
How's your sister?
Please, will you two cheeseheads cut it out?
I didn't say a word.
All right. I wasn't talking to you.
Well, you said cheesehead.
All right. I'm sorry for this interruption. Do you live in New York?
No, I live in Brooklyn.
Oh, you live in Brooklyn. All right. Time with you, but we've got to ask you to reach into Johnny's cap there, if you don't mind, and pick out a question for us. We're a little rushed this evening, and would you read the question if you don't mind? Just take your time and read it.
What day is mentioned in the song, Some Sunday Morning?
Thank you. Very good. What day is mentioned in the song, Some Sunday Morning?
Oh, Mr. Howe, that's a musical question, isn't it?
That's right.
Oh, how jolly. I love musical questions.
You
especially,
do?
Especially if they're about music.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mr. McNaughton, please. You have reached the heights of stupidity.
Yes. Ah, nice view up here, isn't it?
No. The question is, what day is mentioned in the song, Some Sunday Morning? Would you like me to sing it for you?
Yes, please do.
Oh, Mr. McNaughton, what are you saying?
Don't pay any attention to him, Mr. Howard. He didn't mean it. Well, did you, Mr. McNaughton?
No, certainly not. I didn't mean it. No, I don't know what came over me. I'm sorry. I said it in a moment of madness.
I see. Well, never mind. I'm going to sing it anyhow if Harry Sawyer will accompany me.
Yeah, accompany him out of the door, will you, Harry?
I see. Will you give me a start, Harry?
Some Sunday morning is going to be. Some Sunday morning for someone and me.
He's singing from a noble part.
Bells will be chiming an old melody.
Sounds like a hobo too.
Singing for someone and me.
That song is out of this world.
I wish he was out of it with it.
There'll be broken playing. Friends and relations will stare.
Is that coming out of his mouth?
Yay, yeah, that's a human playing. Gee, what a peach of a pair.
With a voice like that, he can go places.
I can only think of one place.
Sunday morning, we'll walk down the aisle. She'll be so nervous.
How do you think we feel?
And I'll try to smile.
That reminds me, we're having fish for dinner.
Rosie for someone and me. Some Sunday morning with me.
I knew it. He blew a tonsil.
All right. Please.
Nevertheless, Mr. Hard, you're a finished singer.
And I'm glad he's finished.
All right. Now, can any of you tell me what day was mentioned in that song that I just sang?
After hearing you sing, they struck that day off the calendar.
You know, I used to be quite a singer. I used to sing Tarara Boom Die. But I've lost the words.
You lost the words. You may have lost Tarara, but you still got your Boom Die.
You know, my sister was quite a singer. She was a mezzo-salami.
Ah, please. You mean a mezzo-soprano.
I mean mezzo-salami. You should hear her sing Coming Through the Rye.
With mustard?
With mustard.
And they speak about rye, you know. The bread shortage is so bad, and Elton Eddie is only allowed to sing one slice of shortening bread. You know, and without raisin.
You should hear me sing. When I sing, I attract girls with short socks.
When I sing, I attract old men with long drawers.
Ben, step in here and give our good friend $25.60.
Certainly, Mr.
It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me. Each week I earn $6. My brain is terribly lax. But when there ain't no income, then there ain't no income tax. So you see, it pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me. Each week I earn $6. My brain is terribly lax. But when there ain't no income, then there ain't no income tax. So you see, it's paid to be ignorant.
For the record, that's all. Be with us again next week and hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, and Harry McNaughton that it pays to be ignorant. Ken Roberts speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.